Welcome to Agency Highway. This is a podcast for digital agencies and freelancers who want to grow their business, earn more, and work less. Each episode, you'll hear from agency owners that are killing it, meet epic people that can help you along your journey, or just listen to me ramble on about something I think is cool. Head to agencyhighway.com for transcripts, action notes, and to join the community. I'm your host, James Rose. Now, let's get into it. Welcome back to another episode of Agency Highway. It's James Rose here, and this is episode 7 with Josh Hall from joshhall.co and several other things, which we'll get into in a minute. I've known Josh online for, how long is it, Josh?
I think it's been a couple of years now, right?
Maybe yeah, probably, like chatting backwards and forwards. Realized we've never even seen each other on video, which is weird. I feel like this should have happened sooner.
Right.
But yeah, so it's awesome to have you here because Josh has done a lot of awesome things. I was first introduced to him, I think, as an author on the Elegant Themes blog, and he'd written some of the best blog series. I didn't even know that was a thing then, where it's like a series of blog posts on like how to improve your client communication or something like that. And it was just a series of really good posts that were very helpful. So I got in touch a long time ago. But a bit about Josh. He's a professional web designer, owner of In Transit Studios, and obviously a blog author for Elegant Themes. He loves Divi, he loves WordPress, and he loves the business of website design. And he's been fortunate to build a successful career around all three, which is what we all want, really. He runs joshhall.co, which is his personal endeavor to help aspiring Divi WordPress designers to build a successful business of their own. Welcome, Josh.
Thanks for having me, James. Like you said, man, I think because we both have, well, you have a podcast and you're, you know, out there on YouTube and stuff. I think I am on YouTube now. So I think we kind of get to know each other without officially meeting each other. So yeah, it's nice to do this officially, man.
Yeah, that's what it's like. Hey, it's, you know, it's, even my business partner, I was out with him last night. And I was like, it's good to see you again, man. It feels like I see you all the time, but it's literally just text chat in like Slack all day. But I only see you once every few months.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm just going to come right out of the gate, man, and say that's one powerful thing about video from getting clients and things like that they feel like they know you before they even want to purchase your service. Or when they talk to you, they feel like they already know you. They don't feel like you're a celebrity, but they're like, oh, wow, I've seen this guy. I trust this guy. I've heard him talk before. And it's a big deal. So yeah, I think that's just, you know, revolutionized communication across the internet, across the world.
Yeah, and I've heard similar things about podcasts too, right? Like, I don't know why anyone would want to listen to my voice, but, you know, maybe it'll happen. Maybe I'll get some business out of this, see how it goes. Nice. Episode 7, early days. Yeah. But yeah, no, I just love meeting people like you, man. So that's pretty much the main reason behind this podcast.
Awesome.
This podcast is brought to you by ContentSnare. ContentSnare helps digital agencies get content from their clients on time, in the right format, without email. If you've ever needed to get content from clients, you'll know how painful it can be. You end up constantly chasing them for weeks or months, and by the time it's ready, there's a 900-long email trail full of massive images and a couple of brochures from 6 years ago. ContentSnare makes this a thing of the past by collecting content from your clients in the right format the first time and does all the chasing for you. Try it on your next project by signing up at ContentSnare.com. So let's get into it. I like to start with this little question. What's the best thing that's happened to you this year?
Well, I'm going to give you personal and then business.
Right.
Personal, my daughter was born in early April. So first baby of mine, my wife and I had her. And that was immediately followed up by a 56-day NICU experience, which was a very trying journey on me and our family. Our daughter was born a little premature. So she has quite a few other issues that were going on. So yeah, we were in the NICU for a couple months, man. So we're still kind of rebounding from that. But nonetheless, we're home now and she is just the best thing in the world. She's adorable.
Well, glad you threw it, man. It sounds like a pretty intense experience.
Yeah, it was a journey, man, for sure. Luckily with Wi-Fi and then you guys have Panera in Australia?
Nope, never heard of it.
Oh, Panera's awesome. Well, it's like a bread and coffee place that's really good here in the States. So luckily they had good Wi-Fi across from the hospital I was able to work at. But yeah, so that was personally one of the best things that happened this year. Business-wise, I think one of the best things for me has been scaling my web design business in Transit Studios, and now I'm building my team. So we can get into that, I'm sure. But yeah, that's probably been like the best thing. I mean, it comes with its challenges, and I'm taking on different roles now. But that's been one of the best things that's happened so far.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like when you finally get those people that can start taking off the tasks that you don't want to do, or it's just driving you into the ground. It's a bloody good feeling.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is because I have a few different things going on now. So I launched joshhall.co, which is, like you said, my endeavor to help other web designers, which is honestly my true passion. I mean, I love what I do with web design and my business in Transit Studios, but I've been doing it for almost 8 years now, and I'm kind of getting to the point where I'm not bored with it, but I just love tutorials. I love helping people. I love teaching and training, and I don't think everyone loves doing that. So I feel like that's kind of my niche, and that's what I want to roll with. And so, yeah, I've been kind of forced. I'm like, if I'm going to be able to do this and have the time to do it, I'm going to have to scale my Transit Studios business. And the first part of that is hiring some subcontractors and growing my team. So it's been really cool. And that all started from an Elegant Themes blog series. So earlier this year, I did a series on scaling your Divi web design business. And I talked to several Divi professionals who have successful businesses. And I just gathered as much as I could from 9 different interviews from folks all around the world. And I basically compacted that into one big series that's on the Elegant Themes blog about scaling your business. And I recorded those interviews on Skype and then threw them up on my YouTube channel. And the two folks who are my web designer subcontractors who are working with me, one's in Australia and then one's in Ireland, they are incredible. And they came to me through that series. So it was interesting. It was an interesting way to hire, because I didn't like put something out on Monster or Indeed. I just put the content out there, and it seemed to bring really good talent to me. I mean, that whole series, man, I was very open about wanting to scale my business. And I think 4 or 5 people reached out to me, and a couple of them are working with me.
One is working
basically part-time, almost 30 hours a week now. And the other one, my gal from Ireland, she's killing it with some periodic work for me. And it's been a really good relationship back and forth. So,
and this is one of the big things I wanted to focus on today. I think I'll need to get you back to talk about building a team, because I think the main thing that I want to talk about today was supplementing your agency or with products and training, or even changing the business completely, or whatever, you know, how you plan to sort of do this and how you built your audience. Because that audience, like just having that reach and having that audience there, has helped your agency, right? Like,
yeah,
it's amazing. So,
yeah. I'm based in Columbus, Ohio, which is a pretty big Midwestern town here in the States. And my business in Transit Studios is 100% referral based. It has been for almost 8 years. So I'm in a networking group, a B2B, you know, a business to business. We meet once a week, and we have people on different,
classic.
You know, yeah, the classic kind of stuff. So that's how I built my business. And when I got to the point where I started building an audience, that's when it really kind of opened up the global community to me. So the way that came about, it's interesting, because I'm trying to like think back. I mean, I was intentional about creating an audience, but I certainly didn't know where it was going to go or what was going to happen. So the first thing I did was, when I got into Divi, if you're watching this and you're a web designer, if you don't know about Divi or about Elegant Themes, the community behind the theme is remarkable. James, you probably know this just from being in some of the Facebook groups and just seeing some of that. It's incredible. I think it's second to none. I think like the caliber of people that are in the community are just incredible. So I got into a couple Divi Facebook groups, having no idea how many groups there were. I don't know how many there were. It was probably like 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 Facebook groups out there for Divi. And I just started one. I called it Divi Web Designers. I started it in the fall of 2016. And it was at a point for me where I was a little, to be honest, just kind of lonely, working from home all the time. And then as life moves on, you get a little more segregated from friends when everyone's having families and stuff. And I just got, you know, I just wanted a community hub to talk about projects and, you know, talk about solutions to Divi stuff. And I just started this community called Divi Web Designers. I was real upfront about what the group was about, and it just exploded. We're up to almost 13,000 members right now.
Holy hell.
But the kicker, James, the kicker is that we're blocking almost 50% of the people coming in.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't, and I say this honestly, it's not about the number, it's about engagement. I don't want to have a group of 30,000 people where everyone's trash talking each other and it's just a terrible atmosphere. I'd rather have 10,000 really good people. And luckily that's what we've, I mean, it's growing now and I have some more admins helping me out. But yeah, it's crazy, man. And the engagement is off the charts. So that's how I started getting into this building an online audience. And it's been incredible. And so the way I got plugged in with Elegant Themes, which kind of corresponds with this, is that the content author, the content editor for Elegant Themes had posted in Facebook, one of the groups. And you know how sometimes it says your location, like, you know, somebody posted and it says where it was posted from. It was in Columbus, Ohio. And I was like, no way, he's in Columbus. So I just shot him a Facebook message and invited him out to coffee. We hit it off and he asked me if I'd be interested in blogging for Elegant Themes periodically. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. And then the rest is history. So I started blogging for Elegant Themes. And what's cool about that is I do it whenever I want. You were asking about like the blog series and the way that came about. Because yeah, I was just going to do a couple posts and they were in the middle of this big series for Divi. And he's like, what we'd like to do is instead of just doing one super long tutorial, do a tutorial over like 5 days and just split it up into more digestible chunks. And I was like, wonder if we could do that with like a more written out series, like business minded. So whether it's, you know, working with clients, pricing, things like that, it was a lot to condense in one post. So I just basically took one large series and split it out of five posts. So that's how that all came about. So blogging with Elegant Themes, growing in Transit Studios. And then I'm kind of giving you the short story of how this all kind of.
Yeah, no, this is it. Like, and this is because the whole point here is like what I wanted to sort of extract from you is how you built your audience. Right. And we need to go into this a bit more, I think, because like if I was sitting at home listening to this, I'd be thinking, yeah, but like, how to, like, I can't get involved with Elegant Themes and everyone's got a Facebook group now and probably, you know, but there's still plenty of ways to build an audience. And I think the big ones here are community and partnerships, right? Like that's basically two versions of the Facebook group's just a type of community. And this is just a partnership. Like you're giving value to someone else in content for them. And they have a big audience that, you know, and this is essentially how we built Content Snare as well, is we had a Facebook group around our target audience. And obviously if you're a web designer that targets everybody, that's going to be really hard because you don't have a target audience. You know, we built a Facebook group. But then we also got involved in so many communities and getting involved, like getting to know, I guess in quotes, important people in those, in those spaces, which then went on to mention, you know, Content Snare or posts that we'd written or have us on their podcast. So suddenly these like influencers or whatever, it's like a type of partnership marketing, I guess, are referring people to us. So I think that's easily the best way that we've built our audience so far.
Yeah. And to that point, what I think the biggest thing that I've learned, honestly, is that no matter how saturated something is, a market is, an industry or whatever, there's no shortage or there's no reason that your true voice can't make a difference. Because I'm a prime example. I had no idea how many Facebook groups were out there. A lot of people were like, oh my gosh, another Divi Facebook group. Well, now ours is by far the most engaged one out there. And it's kind of the one where people go to get like the best response and the best engagement for the most part. There's some other good ones too, but I'm just amazed at how that, you know, exploded and how just being real, being honest and just being me just brought some people together online. And it was really cool. And the same thing for Elegant Themes. When I started on there, I was really intimidated. I was like, man, there's so many good blog authors and these guys doing like incredible video tutorials and all these in-depth tutorials. But the thing with me is that like I could do that, but there wasn't anyone talking about some of the nitty gritty of like website pricing and what, you know, getting content from clients and all this stuff that we all struggle with as web designers. So I was just vulnerable and transparent about that stuff and it really resonated. And so I say that to say just because a market or something is saturated, you can make a big impact and there's no shortage for transparency and for being real and for making a difference.
Yeah, I just took a note of that because that's something I'm definitely going to have to bring up in the show notes or list in the show notes because that's huge. And I've actually noticed that a little bit recently. I'm going to swear in front of you here just so you don't mind. A friend of mine's really big on Beaver Builder.
No, that's fine. Yeah, I don't care. Whatever works for everyone else. Yeah.
Oh, totally. I'm just kidding. I just love the page builder wars, man. Like they get it's almost like the new hosting question. If you ask a question about hosting in a Facebook group, it just blows up. Now it's like page builders.
It's hostile territory, man, for sure.
Yeah, but a friend of mine, Paul Lacey, who's basically doing tutorials and stuff in Beaver Builder. Like, I guess he's the Beaver, almost the Beaver equivalent of you in a way. And I've just saw a post the other day where he was getting so much love for his tutorials and stuff like that. And he started like recently, like this is, like you said, this is a saturated market and he's cutting through because people resonate with him and personality is everything in marketing, right? Like, that's pretty much the only way to differentiate now in this world where everyone's doing so much stuff.
Well, yeah. And that's where I think just getting back to the basics and just being you, we're all different and we don't need to carbon copy each other on stuff. Like the one reason I love the Divi community too, is when it comes to tutorials, which I figured I'd kind of segue into my joshhall.co stuff and talk about how I'm kind of building the audience with that. Because the thing with that is the same deal with Elegant Themes and all the Facebook groups is that there's a ton of people doing Divi tutorials out there, but I might do something just a little bit different, or I might explain it differently. One of my most popular tutorials is how to migrate one WordPress website to another host. And that's covered, there's probably millions of articles, but the video I did on it, I just explained it the way I understand it. And it's gone over really well. And so I think that's another testament to, no matter how saturated something is, if you put it out there, if you're genuine and you're real, it'll more often than not go a long way.
How do you come up with topics? Do you ask people like what they want to hear from you?
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, with the Josh Hall.co stuff, what I did, and so I'll answer the question. I just figured I'd segue into how I got into doing the tutorials because it does kind of, I did gather all those questions. So yeah, I was lucky enough to blog with Elegant Themes first above anything and start my Facebook group. So I already kind of had an edge up on almost like being an authority. One dude in the Divi group called me the Yoda of Divi. So I just ran with that title. So I started using that. And nice. So when, next month is actually going to be a year since I started my Josh Hall.co stuff. And I launched that as my personal endeavor to help web design folks who are wanting to learn more about Divi, WordPress, and web design, pretty much those three right now. And the way I chose content is because I really, right now, I don't have many products at all. I have a few layouts. I know we'll probably talk about that, some Divi layouts, but I'm working on more stuff that I'll talk about. But I knew that I just wanted to get some information out there that was under my brand and not just under Elegant Themes. So I linked all my Elegant Themes posts on my joshhall.co stuff. And then basically what I did was I kept an eye on a lot of the recurring questions in my Divi Facebook group, Divi Web Designers Facebook group. And I put a poll out there at one point about some of the top questions people had. And I did a 12-week series, a tutorial series, which if you're going to do anything like tutorials or podcasts or anything, one thing that helps me is to just do a series. That way it's not like I'm going to do something once a week forever. It's just like, I'm going to do something once a week for 12 weeks. And then there's like an end in sight.
I cannot tell you how worried I was about starting a podcast. Like I'm a massive commitment phobe. And I was like, if it comes to it, I'll just do series.
Honestly, I think it's the way to go. It helped me tremendously. So I just did 12. And then the beauty about doing tutorials or podcasts is you can always bulk record those. So you can do two or three on a Saturday or whatever, and then and release that. So to answer your question, when I started joshhall.co and really launched that endeavor, I just kind of kept track of some of the most popular questions that people were asking. And then I just addressed stuff that has really helped me out. I pretty much took all the main things that I do in my builds that I couldn't find answers to, or I saw tutorials that I just wanted to put my own flair on. And that's how I start. So that's how I started. But right now I'm doing it a little more sporadically. I'm just kind of, I'm not terribly intentional about like the topic right now, but I plan to kind of hone that in. But what's really cool, maybe this could segue into how this kind of corresponds with my Intransit Studios business, is the tutorials that I do for joshhall.co have now acted as a resource for my subcontractors. So
ha, when I brought people, awesome.
I didn't completely think about that. I mean, it had crossed my mind that, you know, I could have a resource that other people could use too. But when I got serious about hiring and scaling my business earlier this year, I was able to, Jonathan, my guy in Australia, he's fairly new into Divi and web design, but he's a fast learner. And so he just went through all my tutorials. So when we had a site where they wanted to have a call to action button in the menu, I could just say, oh, here's my tutorial on that. And I don't need to walk.
It's like an intranet.
Yeah, oh, so it was a win-win, man. It was a total win-win.
Just before we move on too much, I just wanted to quickly sort of cover the last had 2 points of generating content, which I think you summarized really well. I was just going to sort of put them into 2 dot points, basically, in that creating content that people ask for, like that's massive. I just wanted to bring attention to that because that's huge, right? Like you don't just go and make content. Well, you can, but two ways, if you don't know where to start, is just ask people and find out what the biggest questions are. And like you said, monitoring other groups, like you could literally just sit in other groups and see what people are asking and then make videos about them, or find content that's already out there, that's doing well and do it better. Like that's two, I just wanted to sort of summarize that.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's a good summary. Absolutely.
Yeah. Into joshhall.co, let's just keep going on what you were talking about, like how it's all evolving and how you continue to build your audience, I guess.
Yeah. So the big thing for me right now is I just love YouTube. I had no idea the power of YouTube. I mean, I'm closing in on 6,000 subscribers. And I say that modestly because I don't do much on my YouTube channel. Like,
how do people find you on YouTube?
People just look for Divi tutorials.
If a listener wants to find you now and subscribe.
You can just go to joshhall.co and then I have a link to YouTube. And
boom,
you can
there we go.
You go on YouTube, you can just search joshhall.co.
Yes.
But yeah, it's fascinating because I don't know what I'm doing, to be honest. Like I'm learning more and more about YouTube, but my tutorials are extremely simple. Nothing's flashy. I have a basic Blue Yeti mic. I don't have super high gear right now. And
we're all winging it, man. Like this is the thing in business.
It makes me feel better. But you know, you see a lot of these web design tutorial or web design, you know, channels, and they're all so highly, you know, built out, and it just makes me feel inferior. But yeah, I just found that just doing those tutorials, like the audience has grown like crazy. And awesome. Divi in particular, there's not that many people on YouTube. Most of it is written tutorials, which are great. I mean, written tutorials have a lot of, you know, some people love written tutorials. I prefer to just watch a video just because I'm a visual learner and I just want to learn quick and then go. Mm. So I basically just do the tutorials that I would want to see. And yeah, it's crazy, man. I'm blown away by YouTube because I really just haven't, like, I don't do ads or anything. It's just organic people searching stuff. And then if they like one tutorial, they might like another one. Then the next thing I know, they're going through all the tutorials and then they like my Facebook and then they check out my business. It's just, it's really cool. It's crazy. And now the joshhall.co tutorials are a lead magnet for my Entrance Studios website business for people who are trying to maybe do Divi themselves, but then they realize they're not a web designer. They don't want to do it. And then I've had a couple strong leads through there. So yeah, it's really, really interesting.
So is there any other, because that was basically the next thing I wanted to get into is monetization of this, you know, audience. Is it, because really, I mean, like there needs to be some level of business out of this, unless you're doing it just for the love, but we all need to, you know, put food on the table.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, unfortunately, it would be a different story if I built this audience and this was the only thing I did, because my income is still in Transit Studios. It's all I mean, if I wasn't doing that, I wouldn't be able to keep on going to joshhall.co stuff. Hmm. Monetization wise, I make money by my affiliate links, which are very small. I have some affiliate links and I'll probably do some posts geared around tools that I use with affiliate links. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, of course, that's not very much money, but
you see it as a bonus though, right? Like that's what it is to me.
Yeah. It's like, hey, $50 here, $100 here. That's cool.
Yeah.
So that's one smaller. The other area is the products. So Divi, if you're not familiar with Divi, which you are, James, but for anyone who isn't, you can create layouts, child themes, and different web-related things around Divi and sell those. You can sell those on your own site or you can sell those on certain marketplaces. So I'm a part of a couple marketplaces, and I have a few products out right now, which are basically just layouts. A couple of them are my own getting started and moving forward pages for clients that I sell.
Oh, and nice.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's just content that I had created and then that I'm just, you know, allowing people to purchase. So, I mean, they could create those pages or they could just buy my thing for $9 and just.
Oh, I would absolutely do that, right? Yeah, like that, when I think of your content on Elegant Themes, like those are the ones I remember being like awesome. And I'm like, yeah. Oh, I don't want to have to put all this on a page.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely so pay $10 for that.
Yeah. So the products wise right now, that's all I have. So, I mean, it's some income here and there, but it's not that much. Now, the big thing for me this year, and this is one reason I want to scale in Transit Studios so I don't have to spend 8 hours a day in that, is my big thing that I'm running with now is training and courses. Again, tutorials have shown me that I really just love it. Mm-hmm. And I think I have kind of a knack for helping people with their web design businesses. And that's what I want to translate into training courses and products. And who knows what that could merge into moving forward. Because I was thinking about doing child themes and some product related stuff, but I just don't want to deal with the support and all the other things that come along with that. And there's so many Divi child theme creators out there. And honestly, they're just better than me at the child theme stuff. So the big thing for me is courses. So I've got one coming out in September. I put a deadline on it because I've already got it started and I'm moving forward on it. And my first one is going to be about creating a website maintenance plan. So a lot of people talk about this. There's tons of articles online, but I have not found anything that's like a true start to finish guide on how to build your maintenance plan, what tools are available, what tools are to use, how to integrate payments in your site, and then how to retain your clients, how to sell your plan. And then I'm dishing out, I've got like a bunch of emails that I use all the time with my clients. At my monthly clients that I'm going to provide as resources. So it's going to be a full like 5-part training guide on creating a maintenance plan that's bringing you monthly income coming in through a recurring maintenance plan. Nice. So I know there's a ton of resources out there, but again, that's the first one that I feel like, you know what, that's the one I really want to launch. And I posted a poll on my Facebook group about what they would be interested in. And everyone was interested in a Divi/CSS course and a maintenance plan course. Those two are the big ones. So I'm going to roll with the maintenance plan first.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great idea. Yeah. And you know, this is the kind of stuff I've always had in my mind as content I want to create for our audience too. But you know, as things happen, I just don't have time. So I'd love to do something in that space too, you know, cause I don't really do website stuff anymore. I've got all my old processes and stuff that I could just basically give away. And I plan to sort of one day do that, but things like this, man, the podcast is taking up all my time now.
Right. Well, and that's where like, I've realized that I love creating content. I almost like that more than doing my web design jobs now. So I really want to get to a place to be transparent where within Transit Studios, I'm kind of overseeing most everything, but I'm not actually in there doing all the work. I'd rather work on the business instead of in it within Transit Studios. And I really want to get into my JoshHall.co stuff because it's my passion. I love it. And I'll be honest, I got a taste for making money overnight while I'm sleeping with product. And it's just awesome. And as long as there's not many support queries, as long as you know, do good documentation and tutorials on how to use that stuff.
Yeah.
I just love it. So I'm thinking, you know, man, if I could do some courses that are like truly my passion and if I can help people build their businesses and then I'm making, you know, a living at it as well, it's going to be a win-win. So yeah, I'm really excited.
I think it's a really good direction, especially like because you've got an agency as well, you can slowly transition to this. You know, it's not like you need to make this work immediately. We're in the same spot with Content Snare, right? Like we have a custom software development agency that is still, still definitely the main moneymaker while we build Content Snare in the audience and this podcast and everything.
Yeah. And again, I have to reiterate, when it came to building an audience, the reason I've been able to do it for almost 2 years at this point without making much money is because I have in Transit Studios, because I have my web design business. I think a lot of people just try to go out for an endeavor and then they try to build an audience, but they have no other income. And then, well, there's nothing 3 months down the road. You know, that's a big problem. So yeah, it is. it is a win-win for folks like you and me in that kind of position where we have a little leeway. I mean, it takes a lot of time. It's very draining. Oh, yeah.
That's exactly what I was thinking then.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I haven't made much money off it for 2 years, but I've always, I think because I love it, I think that's what's kept me going is like, I get more joy out of doing a tutorial than working on my web design projects.
Yeah.
To be honest.
But the thing is with like audience building, like you said, it takes time. So if you're thinking about it, you know, listening to this and thinking about it, then the time to start is now, right? Like it's going to take some time. So you're going to have to start building it. You know, like we started the Facebook group and everything for Content Snare probably a year before it even went live. Content Snare went live, you know, just because I was like, these are my people and I need to know what they want, right?
Yeah, I think I linked to it in an Elegant Themes blog series, but it wasn't live yet, but I thought it was. I wasn't sure when it was actually
possible. Yeah, when Content Snare was in beta. Yeah. So, man, there's been so much good stuff here. I just saw a couple of questions come in because I couldn't sleep last night. I got up at like 3 o'clock and was like, oh no, I didn't put a shout out for questions in the group. So I put one up and a few came in. But the last guy, Sean, he's pretty active in our group. We've basically answered his questions already, so that's good. That's not to a question on Beaver Builder versus Divi. Sorry, Luke.
I've never used it. Again, I'm not like Divi or nothing. I just, it's what I use, it's what I love, it's what I'm comfortable with. But I mean, shoot, if you use Elementor or Busy Builder or Beaver Builder, I'm sure Busy Beaver would be a whole different builder.
I think there's one called Brizzy or something now. There really is one.
It is. You're right. Like the whole builder thing out there is crazy. Yeah. I just can't say anything.
Yeah, it doesn't. Like, I don't think it matters as long as you're able to build sites that look good, you know, are fast and are easy to maintain and do what, like, tick all the boxes for the client. Like, who cares what tool you're using to get there? And I think because there's a lot of anti-page builder people out there, and I think they're slowly coming around as they realize they're not that bad. You know, and they do speed up workflows in a lot of situations and they make it easy to maintain. Like what's wrong with that?
Yeah. And I mean, look at what Divi's done for me in my career. It's opened up this whole other world to me that I had no idea existed. I mean, it's remarkable. Yeah. It's
people crazy. Might just have a bad taste in their mouth from the Visual Composer days when it used to break every second update.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I've heard that's not that bad anymore because I was talking to a large agency in town recently.
Oh, the Visual Builder.
Yeah. And they said they're not having that many issues with it anymore. No, but I'm like,
It's all. I actually use it more than anything now. I've really come around to it. Yeah. It's awesome now. They've worked out a lot of the kinks and the bugs. And
I was talking about Visual Composer,
Visual Composer. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
Which I've only used that a couple times, but yeah, that thing was, yeah.
That yeah. Was that caused a lot of problems for people back in the day. What else has he asked? What's your favorite tip of the day? Try that again. What's his favorite tip for day-to-day time management? That's an interesting question.
Yeah. So I actually have a video on that about my routines on my Intransit Studios channel. I can give you a link to that if you want, James.
Yeah, absolutely. What was it? Time management. I'll make sure I put
it's
that.
It's actually... video. What did I call it?
It's all good. I've just taken a note to make sure I chase you up for that after.
I don't say that to sound vain or whatever, but I just, there's more details in that. It could be articulated. It's about my routines, tips and tricks that help me run my business day to day. So I'll give you a link to that, but
perfect.
So it's a little different now just because we're still getting settled in with the new life of having a baby. And my wife works from home with me and she's a stay at home mom. So that's great. So we're kind of getting our routine down, but typically, and maybe this could answer how like I'm managing all these different things and all these different pieces is I know a lot of people don't like to start the day with email, but I generally like to knock out my emails that I have. I found there's like two different kinds of people in the world. There's people who have like 1,000 unread emails and then there's a person who wants to get down to zero. And I'm definitely a zero guy.
Yeah.
So when I start working, I generally try to knock down my email as much as possible. And that generally helps me free up some time to where I will dive into like a work block to where a lot of times I'll put my phone on silent. I'll make sure I'm off of Facebook. I'll turn my email off and I'll do like 2 hours of just solid productive work if I can. And that might include usually like a bunch of in transit stuff. If I'm managing projects, if I'm designing a homepage on a site and then turning it over to my team to work on, if I'm doing some logo design or something like that, to where I'm doing like a lot of in the work kind of stuff. And then usually after that, around lunchtime, I'll grab lunch and then I'll have another email block. And then after I get through some emails and some other stuff, then I'll dive into another work segment. And that's where maybe I'll work on a tutorial for joshhall.co, or maybe I'll work on some more projects for In Transit Studios. And then I'll usually, this is probably the key that's really helped me stay sane as a web developer for 8 years, is I always leave at least an hour block in my day in the afternoon for reactionary work. So let's say as a web designer, of course, everyone's getting hit up for updates, a plugin broke the site, something happened, client needs something changed immediately, something like that. Before, I would just have my email open all day and I would just be a support guy. I'd be a 24/7 support web designer. And I got to the point where I was like, I got to control this. So what I did was I just allotted that time period in my day every day. And I still pretty much do that unless I'm in meetings, or even if I'm on a meeting or if I'm gone for half a day, I'll still keep at least a half an hour window or something for updates. And that'll give me that time to where I know I can get that update. That way, if somebody emails me in the morning and said, hey, our Facebook widget is down on the site, can you fix that? I don't have to jump on it right then. I can do it later in the day. They're going to be fine. It's not the end of the world. And then I usually always end my day with some email if need be. And then just, you know, if there's any kind of project that I want to work on or something like that. So that's kind of a snapshot on how I've organized my day that's worked for me.
That's a really epic answer.
I'm passionate about that, man, just because I think James Shramko talked about in his book, and I love this analogy. It's like your email is a to-do list that other people add to.
Yeah.
And that resonated with me so well, because particularly as a web developer, I don't think people understand that when you're in web design, you're also a support guy or gal, and you really need to protect that time and control that. Yeah, that would be some tips on how I've, you know.
It's funny, like you said that you do the email first, and I did that for so long. It's only in like the last month or two where I've naturally gone the other way now. Like sometimes I don't touch email till like 2 o'clock. And that's because I've got all this crap that I need to get done every day. You know, like Monday's my content production day or whatever, and Tuesday's my content promotion. I've got all this stuff that I've got to do. And sometimes that's not done until 2 because it's been so flat out in the last couple of months. And I'm like, I just naturally just don't touch it at all. And then I get in there at 2 and I'm like, oh crap. Now I got to answer all these things. I hate email now. You know? Like,
yeah. And I think that's where having that retainer in the afternoon of time to where, you know, there's stuff I can keep an eye on, and then I know I'm going to be able to hit that. Or now that I'm scaling my business, I can have, you know, my team assist with that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's huge when you can flick things off.
Yeah. That's been a huge help too with keeping things going. And it might help, or it might change a little bit once I can devote more time to my joshhall.co stuff. Cause there might be times where I just want to start the day with doing like a bunch of tutorials or working on a course. And then I get in the email, like you said, maybe halfway through the day, something like that.
Yeah, nice. Wow. Well, this has been awesome. I've usually got a few sort of random questions I finish with here. Have you seen them, or are these going to be totally new to you?
They might be new. I don't think I've seen end of one yet.
They were further down the final questions, but no, it's all good. Okay. Let's see. what would you go back and tell mini Josh just starting out on your journey here, like whether that's in the agency or the product business? Actually, let's go with the product thing.
The product?
Or the audience, yeah.
Yeah, the audience thing. So I feel like I've done pretty well at handling like trolls and the troublemakers online. But I'm very quickly finding out that if you get any semblance of success, you're going to get some of those comments and you're really going to want to engage with them and you're going to want to bite back. And and I've just learned very quickly not to go down that trail. Like recently, somebody just commented on one of my tutorials and said, this is complete rubbish. And I think I was just like up a lot that night with my little girl and I was just feeling it. So I just I went back at him and I was like, thank you so much for this comment. I've been doing all these tutorials and you're getting successful when people start hating on you. And this is the kind of thing that I want to hear to know that things are going well. So keep it coming, something like that. But then I kind of thought about it and I'm like, I know that if I get into the habit of doing that now, it's going to be bad. And I was worse at it a couple years ago to where somebody would say something, you engage a little more. And I feel like I'm a pretty cool guy. I'm reasonable, but online just brings the worst out of people, particularly for groups and stuff like that, to where it's really easy to hide behind a screen. So I would just say, in that kind of case, just be wary. And that's a good rule of thumb for anyone handling comments or dealing with anybody online, even just talking with clients. If they get, if you have a bad client that wants to really get you going, just learning to do whatever you can to protect yourself, your creativity, your positive, whatever you need to do to stay positive and be creative.
That's probably the way I look at it, right? If you get that comment and it makes you mad, right, or something, and you write a response, then when they respond, you're going to come and see it again and it's going to make you mad again.
Yeah.
Or you just leave it and you forget about it, Or actually, I was talking to Adam Hempy about this the other day from Better Proposals. And instead of, we're going to trial this thing and where instead of responding to people or writing like a cranky email or whatever, we're going to just send it to an email address that's like a nothing.
Just
to type it and get it out of your head.
Just get it out, yeah.
And I love that idea. I think it was, where did I read this? I think it was in a war book once. I think it was General Eisenhower used to do this, like just write crap down in a book to get it out of his head. So it could be clear and move on with
his day. Yeah, that goes back to, if you're in an argument, and you just, just write it down, get it out of your head, and then sleep on it, come back to it. And then it's like, if you really want to send that, then send it. But if you look at it, you're like, okay, I'm glad I didn't send that.
Right? I usually just send a meme back. That's what I always end up doing. Like I've got this favorite one where it's like this, there's like a dot, and it says, it's got like the point, and then some guy riding a rocket, and it's going like straight past the point and saying you. As in you missed the point or something.
So the other super important thing about that, to be really serious about that, is that if I respond negatively on a comment on my YouTube channel, that's a massive reflection on me. It's not even a company. It's literally me.
Yeah.
So I have to be really careful about, I might need to go back and delete that comment. You really do have to be careful about that because people are seeing your responses, and then same thing on Facebook and all this, all these other things were online, your comment threads are being seen. And the other thing I'd like to add to that is that with a global community, I've tried to be a little empathetic towards people who don't speak English as their first language, because sometimes they can come across a little off, or they can just reword things wrong. Like, for example, somebody commented on one of my tutorials about, and I'm working on this, is the fact that I say go ahead a lot. I'm like, okay, let's go ahead and do this. Okay, now we can go ahead and do this. And he said something to the effect of, like, for the love of God, stop saying go ahead. And at first I was really offended, but I was like, you know what? That's good constructive criticism. He wasn't like, this is crap. He's like, please stop saying that. Well, come to find out, English wasn't his first language. And he just wanted to say, like, it's just kind of annoying when I hear that nonstop. So I just said, like, hey, I appreciate that. That's, I didn't realize how much I said that. I'll definitely work on that. And then he came back and he was like, wow, I really appreciate you being cool about that. And that's hard to do when you're, you get an ominous comment. So I've been cognizant of that. And I think having a global web designers group, a Facebook group, helped with that. Yeah. Is because just if you don't speak the language natively, you can come across a little wrong. So if you're dealing with people globally who don't speak English as a first language, it's important to be a little empathetic on that, because they might not mean to come across that way.
Yeah. Wow. We just had like a little lesson in dealing with trolls. That was awesome. That was a...
Maybe that'll be my next course.
Brilliant. All right, last question. Favorite piece of technology right now?
Okay,
could be so software, I did see hardware, whatever.
Yeah, super pumped. So Loom, which is a Chrome extension, a little video extension. I have been using this like crazy, like almost every day, multiple times a day with my clients and my team. Mm-hmm. So I have, in my web design team, I have a guy in Australia, gal in Ireland, a local girl, and then somebody else in Vancouver periodically. So it's really hard for me to set up times to Skype or Zoom if I just want to have a quick chat or just give some feedback. So what I do is with Loom, as long as you're using Chrome, it's free. You can just activate it. You can grab your whole screen. You can do just the screen or a video and the screen. And a lot of times I will do this for feedback on projects. So just today I did like three videos on Loom. I did one to a client where I needed to show her how to work with Stripe and Gravity Forms on her site. And instead of me giving her a call and then spending an hour with questions and stuff, I just made a 5-minute video with Loom and then sent it over and said, hey, here's a walkthrough on how to do this. And it's catered to her website. With my team, I do it all the time. If they're, you know, sending designs out and I'm like, okay, I just want to give some feedback. Sometimes we'll do a full call, but a call will usually be at least a half an hour to 45 minutes. So whereas I can just give feedback with Loom for, you know, 5-10 minutes and I can just walk through all my ideas. And that also saves time as opposed to putting things in an email or throwing it up on Basecamp or something like that. So yeah, Loom has been like my favorite little godsend because I used to do it with ScreenFlow, but then you have to record it, you have to export it, you have to import it up somewhere. And then you don't want to send a 300 megabyte file over Basecamp to send them feedback. So Loom is great. It just holds it in there. And
And as soon as you finish recording, the link's available, even if it hasn't processed the video yet. Like that's, I agree. Loom is one of the best freaking tools. And like if a picture's worth 1,000 words in an email, a video is probably worth what? How many frames a second? So it's like
30
frames a second, 30,000 words a second.
You could save it forever or you could just like, I'd try to go through and delete them once a week or so. But yeah, I mean, you can make folders and save them for client videos. And and I'm sure they're going to make more additions to it because it's just such a useful tool. It saved me so much time from calls, video calls and emails to where they can just get the feedback or review, you know, on the video and then we're good to go.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, man, I think that's pretty much it. Last question is normally where people can find out more about you. So we've obviously got joshhall.co. Where else?
Yeah, joshhall.co is, again, you know, my main endeavor. So if you're into web design or Divi or WordPress or anything like that, that's the best place to hit me up. In Transit Studios is my business to where if you want to see, you know, what I'm up to business-wise, you can go there. That's pretty much it, man. I'm a minimalist. I can barely keep up with... You know, those two things. And then, of course, if you're into Divi, definitely come join my Divi Web Designers group.
Yeah, we'll drop the link. I'll drop the link.
And even if you're, hey, I tell you what, if anyone's into all these other builders, if you want to get a glimpse of just the community, if you just want to come in and just like keep an eye out on things, I'd welcome you to do that because you might see, you know, it might blow your mind as far as an online community that actually loves each other and supports each other, which is a rarity these days. I'd say pretty much in Transit Studios, joshhall.co or my Divi Web Designers Facebook group. I'm not on Twitter or, I mean, my personal stuff I try to keep, you know, somewhat private for the most part. But that's pretty much it, man.
Boom. Good stuff, man. Well, thank you very much for joining us.
All right. Thanks, James. It's been a blast, man.
If you've enjoyed this episode, please head over to iTunes and leave a review or share it with someone you think that will get something out of it. And man, there's a lot in that episode. I think hopefully some people get some value out of it. So thank you for joining us again, and I will see you in the next episode.
Discover how to grow your agency, earn more, and work less at agencyhighway.com. Head over there to get resources from this episode and full transcripts. See you next time.